Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Picasso knows your vacation home is your best home. It's the place that brings family and friends together. It's where you're the best version of yourself. Picasso makes it easy to co-own a luxury vacation home in amazing locations. Listings start at $200,000 for 1/8 ownership. Picasso does all the work for you. Luxury furnishings, maintenance, billing, scheduling, and more. And you can resell on Picasso's marketplace anytime, historically for a 10% gain. Visit Picasso to see thousands of listings. That's PACASO.com.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind. My name is Robert Lamb.
And my name is Julie Douglas.
And we are continuing our discussion on personhood.
That's right. Last week we covered the foundation of what personhood is, and this week we are going to continue the conversation, and you'll hear a bit more about personhood as it relates to animals and robots. All right, so we have talked about personhood in this idea of our past selves, our future selves, personhood as a corporate metaphysical entity, and now animals and personhood.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I guess we're kind of taking a step backwards because they were here before us, but we don't talk about them until we're done with corporations. Sorry, but the corporations have more money than do the dolphins. The dolphins are certainly one of the animals you hear about the most when it comes to personhood, mm-hmm. and the great apes. You know, but it's the idea that you have creatures that, are not really all that useful to us. Yes, we can eat gorillas and dolphins, but they're not that tasty.
Rather not.
And in that sense, they are beyond use by humans.
Although great apes are sometimes used as bushmeat, and Jane Goodall is certainly someone who is an advocate of personhood for great apes, for instance, so that they, you know, don't become extinct, so that they are not hunted for bushmeat.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to throw out a quick quote here. This is where I got the beyond use bit there. And this is from Thomas I. White, who is the Conrad N. Hilton Chair of Business Ethics at Loyola Marymount University in Los Angeles. And he says, quote, "The evidence for cognitive and affective sophistication, currently most strongly documented in dolphins, supports the claim that these cetaceans are non-human persons," said White. "As a result, cetaceans should be seen as beyond use by humans and have moral standings as individuals. It is therefore ethically indefensible to kill, injure, or keep these beings captive for human purposes." So that's what White had to say about the matter, pointing to the level at which the individual's mind is operating and the limited extent to which they are useful to humans.
Yeah, and I think non-human persons is the key wording here, because he's not saying, like, let's give them the right to vote or sit on juries. But he is saying that they are exhibiting, you know, consciousness. They are exhibiting, you know, language ability, higher cognition, like abstract thinking.
Yeah.
Both for great apes and for dolphins. So he's saying that in this case, we really need to try to figure out what self-awareness means on this level.
Yeah. You see the mirror test thrown out a lot of times in dealing with personhood, with animals. And this is simply, if shown a mirror, does the animal recognize itself in the mirror? So you often see this used with great apes, but it should be mentioned that other animals can pull it off as well, like the magpie, little bird, can do it. And also worth noting that human beings with face blindness, they may not be able to do it. So it's not...
So, right. So do you take personhood away from that?
It's such a simple test, it's guaranteed to not actually be an effective gauge of personhood. But you get into these questions. To what extent are some, if not many, animals worthy of a personhood status? Like, is a beloved pet... does not quite have personhood status, but a beloved pet has more rights in this country than, say, like a wild coyote, or a protected species has more rights than a non-protected species. So, I mean, there are varying levels of protection in play. Like, if you kill somebody's pet,
right,
you're in more trouble than if you kill, obviously, a cockroach.
Well, there was something that I read, and I wish that I could remember the person and attribute this to that person. But what they were basically saying is that we are at a point in science now that we understand much better the way that animals think. They socialize, their ability to feel pain, to express themselves, and animals like dolphins and great apes, there's a sentient quality to them.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not saying this is apples and apples. They're not humans, obviously. But he is saying that we're at a point where we should probably step back in knowing what we know, what science has borne out in terms of their intelligence. We should begin to redefine how we treat them or we look at them and what personhood might mean in that situation.
Yeah. Like in a certain sense, personhood... as far as personhood and people goes, it boils down to this realization that, it's not just me versus the rest of the world. There are other people that are on my side. And you eventually reach the point where you realize, well, actually most, if not all of humanity is on my side. We are all people. We all have personhood status. And then extending that out, well, are there other things in the world that, are worthy of my consideration as a person? Or just remove the person from that sentence. Just worthy of my consideration. So the dolphin, should I maybe think about it in a way that's more meaningful as that bump that my jet ski just hit? You know, or should I think of this gorilla as something more than just my next meal in the bush?
Well, and then this is the problem of the way that we view animals. And one of the books that I'm rereading this summer is Some We Eat, Some We Love, and Some We Kill.
Mm-hmm.
The author talks about this idea that we really are sort of butt over tea kettle when it comes to this. We can't really think straight. So, you know, why would we look into the eyes of dogs? Some cultures look into the eyes of a dog and see that dopey stare and just fall in love. And now that we know about oxytocin and this exchange of this feel good hormone between these two species,
mm-hmm.
and then elevate this relationship we have with this dog in this culture, why would we do that and not necessarily with another creature? So
yeah, it messes you up. Like, I had to telework with a kitten in that house yesterday, and you know, you're like, oh, maybe I should go look at it again, and then I'm like, oh, I'm getting kind of stressed about this article, I should probably go hold that kitten, and then you look at it and it toys with you. Like I say, you could rob a bank with one.
Well, this is a kitten that you guys just rescued, and so you know you're tapping into your empathy there. It's good stuff.
On that note, we're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back in just 1 minute.
Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples.
Rob, as the local host with allergies here, they sent you some of their nasal spray to treat your allergies. What was your experience like?
Yeah, that's right. I always wrestle with the pollen a bit when it rolls in during the spring. So they sent me the little nasal spray. I tried out the product, and yeah, it sure did help me get on top of my symptoms for the day. And it's so fast acting, it was already kicking in before I left the house.
Astepro is a first-of-its-kind nasal allergy spray. It's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes, while other allergy sprays take hours. Astepro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astepro delivers full prescription-strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing.
Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astepro. Go to AstaproAllergy.com for a discount so you can get Astepro and go today. AstaproAllergy.com. Astepro and go. Use as directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles in a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Picasso knows your vacation home is your best home. It's the place that brings family and friends together. It's where you're the best version of yourself. Picasso makes it easy to co-own a luxury vacation home in amazing locations. Listings start at $200K for 1/8 ownership. Picasso does the hard parts for you. Luxury furnishings, maintenance, billing, scheduling, and more. With a home management team that provides support before, during, and after your stay so you can focus on the relaxing, hosting, and making memories with family and friends. And you can resell on Picasso's marketplace anytime, historically for a 10% gain. With Picasso, you can stop saying someday and start building family traditions today in a vacation home you own and revisit time after time. Visit Picasso.com today to see thousands of luxury vacation home listings. That's PACASO.com.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
And we're back. Speaking of empathy, the final level of personhood that we're going to talk about today, at what point do we consider an artificial intelligence at least an artificial person?
Okay. So now they can create art, as we've talked about, and perhaps even create new thoughts.
Yes.
Okay. And there's this idea that has always been circulating that eventually we're going to program machines and robots to the extent that they are sentient, that they do feel pain because they're programmed that way for whatever reason.
Yeah. Perhaps for their... I mean, yeah, you get into a lot of weird area when you talk about this, because... We mentioned in the other podcast, The Artist is a Young Robot, we mentioned the creativity machine. If you unplug the creativity machine, it doesn't die, it doesn't feel pain, and you don't go to jail. Some of those things do not apply when you unplug a person in a hospital.
Right.
And so you get to the point, like, at what point have we given a program enough of a semblance of consciousness and a semblance of self-awareness that it deserves rights? Like, if you did create, say, you did create this program or this, say, or a virtual person in a virtual world that feels pain, then, you know, and for whatever sadistic reasons you created that program aside, then if you go in and you administer pain to that AI, are you
really doing something horrible, something morally reprehensible, and should that virtual person be protected by law?
Well, especially when you looked at the creativity machine, which Stephen Fuller is saying that it has the ability to learn, it has the ability to produce new thoughts. So, you know, the extrapolation is that somewhat down the road, this becomes its own thing, right? It may even, maybe even has its own consciousness, if we can ever really figure out what consciousness is. But we're trying to do that, right? We've talked about the Blue Brain Project, which is this reverse engineering of 100 billion neurons in our own brains and trying to figure out what consciousness is, and how that's happening. And then we've talked about this idea of virtual immortality, where someday we're going to just download a bunch of code from our brain that is representing who we are, who we think we are, this personhood. Mm-hmm. And we're probably going to throw it into a machine or to a robot. And then at what point, you know, that's probably when we get really concerned about this idea of robots or AI having personhood, because now this thing is containing us, or this idea of us.
It's one thing to worry if a gorilla has personhood, but if you know that, if you see that gorilla wearing your t-shirt and reading your favorite novel, then you're like, whoa, that gorilla kind of looks like me. Now I feel really bad about eating it.
Right.
And likewise, if we, to whatever extent we create the AI in our own image, if we actually attribute it with some of our individual characteristics, then, to what extent is a person, or the characteristics of other beings, real or unreal?
There's this idea too that it survives us, mm-hmm. and that it makes independent decisions based on our own thought processes. So, in the future, do we say, like, somehow I want to legislate that my future me that is now being carried out through this AI is somehow still influencing the world? Mm-hmm. Especially if I have some sort of corporate ties. I don't know. It's an interesting idea.
Yeah. And one thing that I also wondered about, too, in this is you get into the idea of first-order desires and second-order desires. Like, a first-order desire is something like, I want to eat a candy bar, or me want candy bar, or even I can has candy bar. These are all examples of first-order desires.
Okay.
And it doesn't take much to have them. You know, insect wants food. Insect wants candy bar. But it doesn't mean that it is a person. But a second-order desire is the realization that you wish you didn't want a candy bar.
Okay, so this is this idea that you're thinking about your future self, mm-hmm. and you're saying, I wish I didn't want that because I really don't... I really will... regret having eaten that candy bar in the future.
Yeah. Or even having both of those ideas in your mind simultaneously. To be like, I hate candy bars, I love candy bars. That kind of cognitive dissonance.
Yes.
Or like an Odysseus contract, where Odysseus straps himself to the mast of the ship so that he won't be won over by the siren song. He knows that future Odysseus... is a horn dog and will just be dragged to his death by those sirens. So current Odysseus straps himself to the mast.
Yeah, so I'm thinking back now to the other podcast that we just recorded about robots and art, and the one part about how they're teaching Macbeth to the machines, mm-hmm. in order to get these nuances and understand problem solving. So why not just run this same code through? This Odysseus, this pact through machines. Do you think that by virtue of carrying out the code, that it becomes the thing, that it becomes real, that this understanding of nuance and cognitive dissonance could manifest itself in a machine?
It's an open question. Yeah. I mean, certainly it's the domain of a lot of scientific work, science fictional work, rather. In the future, will AIs have rights? Will they have, will they be liable for this, that, or the other? Richard K. Morgan's Altered Carbon novel, in that one, I remember there were AIs, and he specifically mentioned that AIs had the same level of personhood as corporations. So, which would make sense, because an AI is immortal. It doesn't necessarily have a body, and it has, but it does have interest in the world, and it could conceivably need to be protected from other entities.
Well, and I should mention, too, that, again, this personhood, this idea, especially in the legal terms, is something that can be interpreted many different ways and has been by the law. So sometimes corporations have been more personhoody than
yeah.
than others, particularly right now. So when we talk about AI, we know that there probably will be a particular set that will be unique to AI personhood if that, in fact, comes into the discussion.
How about this? How about personhood for fictional characters? Could you have personhood status for, say, Sherlock Holmes?
I can see a number of corporations or lawyers who might really like that because it's sort of an extension of trademarking, right?
Yeah, but like if you reach the point where not only is it a brand, and you see a certain amount of this because I remember reading about how there was some parody movie that ended up using Darth Vader, and they had full cooperation from Lucas, and so they had a guy in a Darth Vader suit on set from Lucas's crew, and they also had an advisor there that was there to shoot down any ideas regarding things that Darth Vader would not say or do.
Right.
I think it was like Night at the Museum 2 or something. I didn't see it, I kind of love that idea because it's the idea that it kind of hints at this idea of a fictional character as something that exists outside of human influence anymore. Like the character is this thing that has certain rights and it shouldn't be stepped upon. So I'm getting, this is a far-fetched and just sort of an open question to get everyone thinking. But yeah, what if you did reach an idea where, and certainly if you did through AI as well. So, like, what if we took everything that we knew about Sherlock Holmes from the work of Sir Arthur Conan Doyle and some of the more canon and accepted visions of Sherlock Holmes in cinema and what have you, and we use that to generate an AI that then was the spokesman and defender of Sherlock Holmes' personhood? That would be kind of interesting.
Bananas.
Yeah. And then what if Sherlock Holmes, the AI / fictional character personhood thing, then ran for public office
and started a corporation impression, but I can't.
Yeah.
Well, the moon.
It's kind of fun. Yeah, you've got to have there's a lot of flesh involved in the head there.
Yeah. But.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Picasso knows your vacation home is your best home. It's the place that brings family and friends together. It's where you're the best version of yourself. Picasso makes it easy to co-own a luxury vacation home in amazing locations. Listings start at $200,000 for 1/8 ownership. Picasso does the hard parts for you. Luxury furnishings, maintenance, billings, scheduling, and more, with a home management team that provides support before, during, and after your stay so you can focus on the relaxing, hosting, and making memories with family and friends. And you can resell on Picasso's marketplace anytime, historically for a 10% gain. With Picasso, you can stop saying someday and start building family traditions today in a vacation home you own and revisit time after time. Visit Picasso.com today to see thousands of luxury vacation home listings. That's PACASO.com.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway.
And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
So anyway, those are just some open questions there at the end to get everyone thinking a little more about personhood. It's a fascinating, elusive, deeply philosophical question that is not going to be going away anytime soon.
Oh, no. And thank you to everybody who wrote in about it, especially Kelly. Gave us some really good things to think about.
I should mention just real quick, if you do a quick search for personhood corporations on the How Stuff Works website, you'll find an article from Josh Clark of Stuff You Should Know. He did an article on that that's pretty cool. And I also found a Scientific American blog entry by Eric Michael Johnson really interesting. It's called Non-Human Personhood Rights and Wrongs.
Yes.
And a lot of that focuses in on grade apes because that's Johnson's area of study. But he gets into issues of AI as well, and it's a fascinating read.
All right. Do we have time to bring over the robot?
Yeah, I think we have time for a quick one. The robot here does not have personhood status.
He has applied for it. We are reviewing it.
All right. Here's a little bit of listener mail from Sarah. Sarah writes in and says, "Dear Robert and Julie, after hearing my fellow otaku, anime junkies, tell you about Denoi Coil," I don't know if we ever got the pronunciation on that right.
Mm.
Yeah. "I thought I would tell you about the anime Planetes, which is spelled Planetes, which is a sci-fi anime about astronauts whose job it is to pick up space debris in order to make space safer for flight. There are stringent laws about leaving anything out there, and the show deals with the dangers of space, including space madness, as well as a little romance. Got to go, but definitely check it out, Sarah." So I looked this up. I haven't watched any of it, but it does look really interesting. It's like just the idea that this is it's like a TV series. It's essentially about space junk, you know, and about dealing with space junk, and
yeah.
Then, you know, and then various important narrative levels.
Well, that's good, right? I mean,
yeah.
That's hope for me that maybe it's starting to get into the mainstream somewhat. I don't know if you could say that the mainstream, but at least it's getting into the conversation.
Yeah, and it's an interesting reminder too about how rich anime can be, because
yeah.
I've seen some of the iconic anime flicks, you know, like I've seen Akira, I've seen. And certainly I've watched like the Miyazaki films and what are some of what's the other really Ghost in the Machine I've seen, so some of those, but there's a whole lot of anime that I just don't even know what's going on with, and it's easy to fall into the trap of just thinking of anime as, you know, as whatever the most visible thing happens to be at the time,
right.
You know, but there's really a lot of diverse, but, you know, a lot of times fantastic storytelling going on there that's certainly worth looking at. So I think it's really awesome that somebody out there has managed to produce a show that is based on a more or less on the skeleton of a space junk theme. And then we also heard from our listener Murphy. Murphy writes in and says, "Hi, Robert and Julie. My name is Murphy, hailing from Hawaii, but that is irrelevant. I just finished listening to your podcast about the Higgs particle. Pretty cool. Remember that joke about the Higgs particle? I've electronically arrived to point out that this is the only humorous Higgs joke because of its clever and commonly overlooked double entendre. Not only can you not have mass, like church mass, without the Higgs particle because of the Higgs particle gives stuff mass, like stuff mass, but also because you cannot have church mass without the God particle. I've always been looking for some recent topic to chip in about. I listen to your podcast retroactively, so usually my 2 cents are a couple of years overdue. I love, love, love the podcast. I still have a few hundred more to listen to, so I have to go. Aloha, Murphy."
Aloha, Murphy. Yeah.
I keep forgetting that we've done that many. But, yeah, apparently we have.
2 a week.
Yeah. And I've got time for one more listener mail here. Listener Matt writes in and says, "Hey, guys, I'm slowly working my way through your older March, April, May 2012 podcast, and you're talking about space exploration, tech, living in micro-G environment, and the tech of Prometheus. In regards to these podcasts, you have to check out the movie Pandorum. It goes further into the detrimental mental problems long-term space travel can take on the human species. I don't think I'm giving away too much of a spoiler when I tell you that three of the finer points in the movie take a look at psychotic episodes, cabin, ship fever, memory loss due to extended hypersleep, and biological evolution brought on by trying to adapt to a spaceship environment. While it didn't play out very well in the box office, it is certainly worth a while to DVR on Sci-Fi or Netflix if you don't want the commercials. I also wrote a long time ago about thinking as a kid that mirrors were not just a reflective surface, but a window into the nearest adjacent multiverse. My reflection was really just another me who happened to check out the mirror at the same time, and that at any time I might turn a corner and run into my doppelganger. Well, I finally did meet him. His name is Negamat, and he's a pretty cool dude. We exchanged numbers and are scheduled to meet for brunch next Saturday. Thank you again for the great show, Matt." Well, that was a fun email. Certainly the mirror thing. It's that universe is just like ours, except they spell everything backwards. And and certainly Prometheus, Pandorum, is a film that I know people who just seem to hate it, but I really enjoyed Pandorum. I thought it was a really fun kind of space horror flick, a German-U.S. co-production, I believe. Some good performances in it. A lot of money went into the set design and the creatures, and there are a number of cool little scientific ideas going on, including the three that Matt mentions here. So,
but do they have the space punies?
No space punies. Oh. But it does involve the scenario. Okay, what if you have colonists on a seed ship, and you have genetically engineered them to rapidly adapt to a new environment, so that when they land on an exoplanet, they can get out and they can rapidly advance to this mm-hmm. new environment. But then, what if that ship doesn't make it to its destination? And what if the crew members come out and then they rapidly adapt to the environment of the ship?
Right.
What would that look like? So that's one of the fun ideas that this film has. I mean, don't go into it expecting 2001, but as we've discussed in the past, if you go into any movie expecting 2001 that isn't 2001, you're going to be a bit disappointed.
Yeah.
So thank you guys for all that wonderful listener mail. We get a lot of it. I wish we had time to personally respond to all of it and or read all of it, but it's just hard. And sometimes I mean to read something, and then I print it out, and then I forget it. So some of it is user error on my part.
Those are the breaks.
Yeah. So let us know what you think about personhood. Our corporations people, our plants people, our animals people, our dolphins people, our artificial intelligences people. How about that guy that you just shot in that video game?
What about that blade of grass that just got cut and released green leaf volatiles screaming for help?
Yeah. All these questions are on the board, so let us know what you think. You can find us on Facebook, where we are Stuff to Blow Your Mind, and you can find us on Twitter, where our handle is Blow the Mind.
And you can always email us at blowthemind@discovery.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at CedarPoint.com.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.